everybody, and welcome to episode 265 of the 9 Years Podcast with myself, Nick Draper, and today, a very special guest, my newly married brother, Chris. And Chris, have you taken Claire's surname, or are you still Draper?
I am still a Draper. How very dare you even suggest anything different?
Don't be judgmental of modern ways of doing things. Sometimes men take the surname of the female.
And sometimes they do, and good luck to them.
But you are not one of them. You have decided to stick loyal to the Draper name.
She has to do all the paperwork. I keep the name.
Fair enough. Sounds like you've got the easy deal there.
Definitely.
Yeah. Don't want you going anywhere near paperwork, especially in your job.
No, definitely not.
Say no more
about that. Soon as mended.
Yeah, we'll move swiftly on. So thank you very much, everyone, for downloading the show this week. Apologies for a dodgy couple of weeks on the podcast, as we've been struck with some ill health, and we wished you a quick recovery as well, and he'll be back on here as soon as possible. And I myself have been away for a couple of weeks, so apologies about that. Sometimes things in life just come to test you, and that's what happened, really. And it's fair to say, Chris, that I failed that test. But never mind.
Yes, you did.
Move on. I did fail spectacularly.
You passed a couple of them.
I passed a couple, yeah. Yeah, I had a couple of positive tests, which were great fun. But yeah. One particular positive test that did not render me unwell whatsoever. It's very strange.
It's very strange indeed, but that is what it is.
It is what it is, to quote a wise man, and also you. This week, we will be reviewing the draw with Burton Albion and also looking back over the recent run of fixtures as well, because we didn't have a show last week, and just casting an eye on how the season's gone so far, as we have a break, as we don't have a fixture this weekend, and we'll talk more about that later as well. We'll also be looking back, as we always do, 20 years ago this week, to what happened in 2001, the final season of Wimbledon FC. But we shall begin with a game that wonderfully, Chris, you didn't see, which was Wimbledon 1, Burton Albion 1.
I did not see it. I was on my honeymoon, as you mentioned. And no, but I was obviously keeping up with match reports. So I'm a terrible husband. Although I did keep it quite on the QT. I don't think she noticed. I only got a wallop every sort of 5 minutes when I was checking. Didn't sound very good, by all accounts. What was your take on it?
Well, first of all, she, do you mean the cat's mother? Who is this she?
Okay.
You don't have cats or dogs. What did I make of it? Well, anyone that was in attendance. Well, do you know what I say that? For me, that was an awful game of football. I mean, it was a mixed bag of
commentators, I think is the word. Look at it.
Yes, there were some people that were very happy with performance and thought it was an entertaining game. I myself didn't, especially the first half. But I think a draw was fair overall, purely because we had a spell about 15 minutes at the start of the second half where we came out and we did take the game to Burton. We had a glorious chance with Rodoni, who should have scored. He really should have done. I think he scored that. Yes, from close range.
Are we allowed to say that? I did get told off once for saying something similar.
Are you allowed to say he should have scored?
Yeah.
Because he should have scored.
He should have scored. Okay. No, just checking.
And I think if he had scored that one, I think we'd have gone on to win the game. But anyway, we didn't. We then gave away a really poor goal.
Oh, it was bad, wasn't it?
It was a gift from Anthony Hartigan, who was otherwise actually probably our best player. And it was a really difficult game. We'll come on to this more in a bit. But it was a really difficult game to pick a man of the match for either side. But I did think he had a good game. But then the massive giveaway for the goal, which was it Kane Hemmings? Put that away.
I genuinely thought, because I saw the goal.
Yes.
And it was one of those, because I remember his goal against Oxford, and I just put my head in my hands metaphorically for him. I'm sure he was doing the same thing.
You mean the goal we conceded against Oxford, where he got caught?
That's the one, yes. Yeah, because he was in possession again. I thought, wow, that's going to knock him. But by the sounds of things, and by what I've heard from you guys saying, etc., he came back from it, and he did well.
I definitely think we have seen this season a more mentally resilient Anthony Hartigan. I think that has definitely shown. And I think we're actually seeing the player that we thought we had when he first came into the first team, which is one that I think teams will be interested in and might well be a battle to keep him. But That is a problem for future AFC Wimbledon to worry about. But say, I was quite surprised, like you said, because I thought it was an awful game overall. And then we finished quite strongly to get the equaliser. I thought the equaliser was coming. I'll explain more about that later as well. But I was surprised afterwards. I thought some people were really quite positive about the game as a whole. And I'm wondering if this is still a little bit of the whole Plough Lane
bounce.
Definitely. And atmosphere behind the goal and a late equaliser always puts a nice shine on a game, doesn't it? So
I was just about to make exactly the same point. I said, if we hadn't have scored that, what would people have been saying? Would it have been unlucky? Would it have been, where would we have gone after that if we hadn't got the equaliser?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing for me in terms of where we would have been without the equaliser was confidence. I think confidence was a massive factor in that first half, coming into the game off 3 defeats in the league on the spin, 4 in total if you include Arsenal. We just looked like low on confidence, low. And we played against the Burton team, and we're going to see a lot of this season, which is a tribute to the scouting or the scouts of the opposition, is they make it so hard for us. They're quite happy for us to have possession and just stick men behind the ball. Yeah. Low risk football. Plymouth were very low risk. Burton was super low risk.
Yeah.
They didn't give the ball away. They didn't try and play football in dodgy areas. And they just stopped us from creating anything. And we really struggled to break teams down. Now, what happened in the final 10 minutes was that Burton took that to the nth degree, stuck everyone behind the ball, and they invited the pressure. And that's always a risk. Because even though we struggled to break them down, it got to the last 10 minutes and we were just slinging balls in the box. That's what it amounted to. And they had no out ball. They decided to put everyone back. So when they cleared the ball, it was just coming straight back at them. And eventually that's going to break down. Even though we only had the one shot on target before the goal, just sensed it was coming. And also there's a little bit of teams don't generally go on losing runs of more than 3, really, as a general rule in this league.
Don't say that.
Everyone was looking at it going into sort of the 90th minute thinking this might be 4 defeats on the spin, but it's rare it happens. And also, we've gone 2 90-minute periods. So if you take the second half at Shrewsbury, the whole of the Rotherham game, and the first half at Burton, that's 2 whole games of football, 180 minutes without scoring. And again, we don't tend to go more than that without scoring. So I thought a goal was on the cards, and it did come. Presley got the flick from the Alexander cross, and McCormick finished it really well. McCormick's first goal since the opening day at Doncaster. What have you made of Luke McCormick's contribution so far this season?
What an interesting comment, because I didn't realise that was his first since Doncaster. That's crazy. I thought he looked, because we were obviously up at Doncaster, and I thought he looked sharp. I thought he looked lively. I thought he looked like he was a man who had a point to prove. But he seems to have faded away a bit to almost sometimes being a bit of a passenger. Is that unfair to say?
No. It's difficult because I know what you mean. Like, passenger sometimes becomes people get a little bit strange around this word. I wouldn't say we were carrying him along, but I just don't think he was having the impact in terms of goals and assists that you perhaps thought he was going to have.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, that's fair enough. I mean, I just didn't see much of him. You could see some of the standout players, your Hartigan, Nightingale having a great time of it. Asal obviously doing well, apart from his silly bookings, but that's another story. But I didn't really see McCormick, not physically, obviously, but as well as just hearing about him, what he was doing, etc. I just didn't hear a lot of him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think most people would agree with you, to be honest with you. It was
anonymous.
Yeah, so sitting just behind the strikers, where perhaps in his best position, we thought it was going to dominate games, and it didn't quite happen. And I suppose there's many factors in that, as well as teams preventing him and stopping him from playing. But he's clearly very, very talented. You can see that. Takes set pieces with both feet. Finish was excellent. It was a really good finish for the goal.
He really twatted it.
Yeah.
They twatted.
And I think by the end of the season, he'll have double figures. I really do. So I think he's been a good signing for us. I just think perhaps...
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm not denying he's a good signing for us. The potential is there. He just needs to perhaps get back to thinking, I've got the point to prove, rather than I'm just going to walk into this team every week, no drama.
And also, I think perhaps there's a little bit of expectation.
Yeah.
Expectations were really high, especially after the game up at Doncaster, and that's always difficult sometimes. But hey,
a difficult second album, as they say.
As they say, whoever they are. Do you know who didn't have a difficult second album?
Who's that then?
Elton John, because his first album was awful, and therefore his second album was awful.
Haven't you got a swear jar when he's mentioned? I thought.
I don't pay. No, I'm not going to. I'm not letting him cost me any money. Just any excuse to get a jibe in at that football club. By the way, Watford sacked their manager again this week.
13th manager in 12 years or something.
I think it's more than that, you know. It's ridiculous. What an absolute. And then there was a Watford fan on the news and they were talking about it. And he was going, well, we don't like it as fans, but the model works because we've got promoted and we've been to FA Cup. They did get to an FA Cup final. They lost 6-0, by the way, but they did get to the FA Cup final.
Yeah, they glossed over that bit.
You get to a cup final and lose 6-0. That's embarrassing. Do you know what? If that happened to us, I'd say just close the club down. That's what I'd do.
Forget anything else.
Yeah. Shut the gates. Lock the training ground. Absolute. That
was embarrassing, but I could almost hear your laughter across the Pevensey levels, to be honest.
It's really difficult, though, because it was to Man City, and I really hate Man City as a club as well. So it's sort of not really, no one's really a winner there, but at least Watford didn't win.
The most of worst worlds.
There we go. Well said.
Thank you.
Moving back to Wimbledon-related things. Yes. Lineup. We've talked this season, Mark Robinson's made changes, kept things fresh with young players. As you do, you want to keep things fresh because they tire very quickly. You need to keep squad rotating the squad, get everyone a game, and he was doing that early season. But I am wondering now if that team we saw against Burton is what he and probably most of our fans consider as our strongest 11, with the exception of, people will argue, if you have a stronger striker between Ollie Palmer and Aaron Presley, you can probably interchange those two depending on the week. But the rest of the team, with a back four, with Woodyard and Hartigan, the two holding midfielders, and then Asau, McCormick and Rodoni, the three forward. I think that's what he considers his strongest, with Henry Lawrence and Shea Alexander as the fullbacks. Would you make any changes to that 11? Is there anyone that you think actually know they should come in? For example, people might suggest Mabude comes in and starts. They might do. I wouldn't, but that's because he's a Watford player. Some might suggest centre-half maybe, but I don't think so.
I don't think. I wonder whether at the minute Mabude is a 90-minute player or even a 75-minute player. I think he is at the minute he's a sub to just come on and try and a plan B. Not just because I'm anti-Watford. I don't care less about Watford, to be honest. But I think he's more of a plan B. I think he comes on, puts a bit of pace on, runs at the other position, makes them a bit scared, that sort of thing. I wouldn't change much. I'd like to see Callum Bailly come back in and maybe partner Nightingale. I think, other than that, no, that's pretty spot on. That's pretty what we're looking at the minute, isn't it?
I think so. I'm very sorry. I was just trying to make a joke, a plan B joke, but I couldn't find... I couldn't find one. I think the writing's on the wall for any jokes about plan B.
My love for you is going down at this point.
Is it really? Well, I'm praying something comes up. I just can't.
God, this is going. No, this, come on now. What did they say last time I was on here?
Who are these? Who are they?
Too much. What do they say? Too much mucking about, not enough football. Come on, let's get on with it.
Too much mucking about and not enough football. That sounds like Gillingham's approach to...
Oh, yeah, not bad, actually.
Very good, very good.
Very good, very good, sir. Very good.
The other talking point, from the Burton game was the rain. Now, I love the rain. It is my favourite type of weather. People think I'm weird. I hate the sunshine. It's awful. It's horrible. Football should be played in cold... It doesn't have to be rain, but at least it has to be cold. Floodlights definitely have to be on, and everyone should be jacketed up and scarves and everything. Because when you have a game like Saturday, when the conditions are awful, when you get a result like we did with the last minute equaliser, you feel like as a fan you've earned it. Whereas if you go like nice, pleasant sort of April time, do you know what it is? I think it is. It's because when we were growing up watching Wimbledon at Selhurst Park, our season was over by the time it got to April, May. And you're just watching end-of-season games in nice weather. There was no intensity to it. I just don't, but whereas sort of October, November, December, January, February, FA Cup third round, FA Cup fourth round, midweeks, that's proper football. And the only thing that was missing from Saturday with the cold and the wind and the rain was a pitch that was shit. Pitches have got far too good. I don't like it. When you watch games back from the 90s, muddy pitches were all part of the fun.
Yeah, you're a bit obsessed with your mud there. I don't know what that's about, truth be told. I like going to those sort of games, don't get me wrong. I know that the Wind and Rain weren't well received by certain people in different blocks in the main stand against Burton, because I know that the one furthest, where how does it go now? Because I always get confused. Is it H?
H. 10,
from no, steps. Not, yeah, from steps. No, 109, I think, which is right at the end.
We're in 107, so 109 must be, I think, the very last one.
Yeah, that got when I remember when we came to watch the curtain raiser against Doncaster.
What?
It got the what? It wasn't Doncaster, was it Scunthorpe? Sorry,
Scunthorpe. There we go.
That we got wet there, and that was only drizzle. So I'm not sure. Sat there, I'm not sure how bad it was against Burton, but I can only imagine.
It was really. It got really heavy at some point. You really heard the rain battering the roof, to be honest with you.
Oh,
we were fine where we were. You got the occasional bit of spray if the wind blew that way, but we didn't get wet. But no, yeah. Those end blocks, and very much the same at King's Meadow, the end blocks would get drenched if it was raining.
Would get wet, yeah.
So not so much fun if you're in those blocks. But although I did see a few Pac-a-Macs behind on the concourse with people that were well prepared, there were a lot of fans that weren't well prepared whatsoever. And I couldn't get my head around this. The amount of fans I saw without a coat, or at least a waterproof coat or an umbrella, who were just literally dripping water as they made their way back to Earls Field Station. But there is there is a health and safety element to this. Which is the steps, because I went to the Liverpool game.
Yes.
And there'd been a bit of rain before the game. And the steps are coming out of the west stand nearest the away fans, which we can't do at the current time, but we did for then.
Yes.
They held the water and they were drenched in puddles. And it's the same the other side. The steps aren't draining. Now, the wet weather, perhaps not so bad, but if there's nowhere for the water to go, I'm guessing when it gets cold and icy in the winter, that could be a problem, because I don't understand why the water is, why have they built a new stadium that has steps that doesn't drain water? God, this sounds like you're listening to Gardener's World on Radio 4.
You're listening to Ground Force with Nick Draper. Literally Ground Force. It's an odd one. Again, against Scunthorpe, I'll get the team right this time. I did notice that it was very wet. And it was a bit slippery. So hopefully, he says, they will put some of the proper, strips along them to stop, to put a bit of something underneath it to make sure that when it does become icy and cold and crappy, it won't be an issue. One can only hope.
Fingers crossed. You're looking forward to some strips at AFC Wimbledon?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Final bit on the Burton game then. It's going to be difficult for you, I suppose. Who would you say had the best week of our squad?
Well, by all accounts, barring his unfortunate back pass, which I think, and to be honest, I think, again, like you were saying about scouting and how they watch us play, I think they knew that was a thing. That he passed, that Zarnoff comes out and there's these back passes that are sometimes a bit shy. Apart from that, from all accounts, Hartigan had his best week, I think.
So therefore, who had the worst week?
Elton John. Hang on. We've been here before. Who had the worst week? You go, because you saw it.
Look, we'll give it both to Hartigan. We'll give it to Hartigan for potentially being our best player on the day. But also, he played a pass back to his goalkeeper without looking. We know why he did it, because it's come from, it's all, hey, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yes.
It's trying to keep the ball moving quickly so he can counterattack, and that's what we want to do, and that's what he's there to do. Hartigan, he sits and he moves play really quickly. Just has to have a look up. It reminded me of bizarrely, Stephen Gerrard made an error. It's not the same because he sort of volleyed it back, but he made it a couple of times, actually, Stephen Gerrard. Mm. Once for Liverpool, I think, against Arsenal, really messed it up, let Henry score. England against France, wasn't it? Euro 2004, where he lobbed the pass back without looking and it put us in all sorts of trouble.
I think that might be
to the winning goal as a free kick, maybe. But yeah, so there we go. Hartigan can have it both. I'm not sure if we say well done or what to that, but yeah.
Nope. Well commiserated.
Well commiserated, there you go. But a good point, because it brought an end to, that we said, that run of defeats that we'd had. We'd lost at home to Plymouth, like we said. They'd spotted Plymouth, did a number on us. They celebrated like they won the World Cup at the end. I mean, fair play. And then we had the Shrewsbury defeat. Again, do you know the Shrewsbury defeat? Yes, it's frustrating because we were 1-0 up and we lost. And yes, it's frustrating that we still kept a clean sheet in the league this season. Shrewsbury's, like when I said to you earlier about teams don't tend to go on runs of games, losing so many in a row or going so long without scoring. Shrewsbury would do a victory. It was just law of averages time. And yes, people say you can't look at it like that, but there does seem to be something in this. This is how it seems to happen in League One. It's teams will pick up results every so often, and we just defended poorly from balls in the box, which is a bit of a ongoing theme as well. But generally, and then Rotherham, obviously, I mean, did you read anything into the Rotherham game? You just accept that's a team that...
Oh, I totally knew that was going to be a spanking. They're going to be promoted this year. There's no two ways about it. with apologies for the barking in the background, if people can hear it. I have a 13-week-old puppy who basically barks at fresh air. So I've just put him outside for a minute. No, the Rotherham game, I expected nothing. We got nothing. They got screwed over during the COVID times, I think, a little bit, and then they lost a load of games, and then they got relegated as a result. And they've got some good players. I think they will be top two or three. So I wasn't expecting anything much change out of them. Even though, by the sounds of things, up till whilst it was 1-0, we gave it a good go. Nothing was going to come from that, sadly.
No, and do you know what? I think it's one of those where, again, I mean, take a shot if you're playing that game this week, but I'm mentioning it again.
Oh, that game, yeah.
Social media. I just think a 3-0 defeat against a team that are expected to be challenging for promotion. I'm not sure if, I said a few weeks back, I think Rotherham, I'm not sure this is the year where they will actually bounce back, because they have, there we go.
They've bounced back.
They've yo-yoed between the two divisions for a number of seasons in a row now. And I think that has to come to an end at some point. It might well be this year. But in years gone by, 20 years ago, midweek, 3-0 defeat away against a top of the table team, people have gone, okay, shrug their shoulders, never mind, on to the next one. Whereas social media just magnifies everything all the time. And that's why...
It's scandalous. I mean, you know, moving away from football, you should see the state of it at the minute, as I'm sure you do. But we I don't know whether our good start to the season, where we're all looking through, combing through the record books, I was guilty of it as anyone else, looking for our best starts and things like that, of course, just before it went downhill. Maybe our cracking start has given us lofty expectations, especially so soon after being allowed back in football grounds. I think the combination of that, just being able to come back, plough lane, the whole thing, we're just all now, a lot of people are thinking, well, we should be winning everything. Yeah. It's not like, life isn't like that, sadly.
No, but come the end of the season, if we were to finish 14th in the division, which is where we are now, I think everyone would go, fantastic. Take that, happy days.
If we could end it now, I'd be happy with that. It's terrible, isn't it, really? We should always be looking to succeed. And I know there'll be a lot of people sitting there going, how dare you? We should be looking to progress. You know, we're not ready yet.
No.
We're not ready to keep going and things like that. And we may never be. We may be the perennial Rochdales of League One and Two. You never know. But then there is always that what if. And one day, you never know, but not yet. So I think keeping where it is, keeping a good account of ourselves in the league, making sure we're staying in League One and not League Two and the terrible trapdoor at the bottom of it, I'm happy with that.
Yeah. And I think, as a general rule, okay, four without a win now, but this is where I'm starting to take notice of league tables now, 10, 11 games into the season.
Oh, yeah, 10 games in is where we live, yeah.
And I think you look at the start we've had, and yeah, 1-3, drawn 3, lost 4. But some difficult games in there. I think you see how well Bolton are doing now. Mm-hmm. You see Sunderland we had Ipswich. I know Ipswich having their problems, but still.
Well, they picked up a couple of good wins, haven't they?
They have. They did it the other day, yeah.
Pickett started scoring.
Has he?
Yeah, he scored the other night.
Did he?
In that cup you don't like talking about.
Oh, that doesn't count. No wonder I didn't notice that one. That doesn't count. So
I'm afraid in the grand scheme of things it does, but no, you're right. Boycott Team B, hashtag.
Yeah, hashtag B Team Boycott, not going to Wembley. So I just think, yeah, that's tough start. And Plymouth as well, another team. Rotherham, like we've mentioned. I still think Burton are a decent team. I was surprised that they seemed to settle up and stick at 1-0. I didn't think they played particularly well as an attacking force against us, but I think they're a decent side. Top.
They definitely went for a point, didn't they? Listening to the stats and looking at the play.
Yeah.
They set the stall out for a point.
Yeah, definitely. Or just to catch something on the break. But with their Chelsea legend manager, of course, in Jimmy Floyd
Hasselbeck. Oh, shush. We're not allowed to say that.
But yeah, so overall, start of season, happy with that. If it carries on, if we carry on with this average and we finish 14th, I think we'd all be very, very pleased. Elsewhere in League One, trying not to, really was an effort not to talk about the in inverted commas, big clubs in the division at the start of the season. But the news, really, when you look at results, is coming from said big clubs. So I picked out three results this week. We've already mentioned them. Ipswich, who lost to Accrington.
Yep.
Which is Accrington, just fair play, just got an absolute way of playing, especially at home, doing really well continuously at this level. Oxford won at Sheffield Wednesday, who are our next opponents. Sheffield Wednesday losing at home, which is a bit of a surprise. And then Sunderland, their second defeat of the season, they're still second. Wigan have gone top, but they lost 4-0 at otherwise rather middling, struggling at the start of the season, Portsmouth, which was a result I don't think anyone saw coming, and I have real no explanation for it.
It was a weekend of peculiar results, wasn't it? I mean, it was just, did people have one eye on a potential international break? I'm joking. I don't know what it was. It was weird. Maybe the weather affected people. Maybe it was the time of day. It was just quite a few very, very strange results.
Highlighted as well in the Championship, by the way, because Fulham, who had started the season really, really well, went to Coventry, who had lost 5-0 at Luton Town in the week. Just repeating that one, they lost 5-0 to Luton Town in the week.
All right, don't go on about it.
And then they went and smashed Fulham 4-1 with 4 second half goals. And then Luton got 0-0 with Huddersfield afterwards, which reminded me of Egil Olsen's old saying, which is when a team scores 5 goals in a game, they never score more than one in the next one, which I think has been proved wrong over time. But as a general rule, it actually is largely correct. The overwhelming majority of the time, it's quite weird.
I do not want to give that man any credit whatsoever, so he can stick it.
He had nice Wellington boots.
No, he didn't. They were shit.
Okay, all right. So, all right. Say how you really feel.
I remember those bloody badges. Do you know, when I took over it, dear listeners, if you don't know, you're new to the podcast, I used to look after the club shop at Selhurst when we dropped into... what was it then, Division 1?
Not just Selhurst Park, but of course the Broadway.
But when I first moved in there, they said, oh, you need to go and sort out the stockroom. And the stockroom was a tiny little shack on the corner of a trading estate in Croydon. But the biggest stock number that was left for those stupid little pin badges of his wellies. No word of a lie.
I didn't even know those existed.
They did. Oh, they did. They didn't. They never came back out.
Obviously.
No. But that was the biggest stock waste of time. Anyway.
What about those?
Bit of a segue.
Photos of all the players. Do you remember those?
Player photos. Jesus Christ.
They were literally a photo of a headshot of the player.
Yeah,
on
that was it.
A blank, on the reverse of it was just a blank white thing. I remember those. Yeah.
That was
Paul Robinson sold well.
Yeah, he really did. That was a Mike Greeley special, that one. He organised those. Mike Greeley and Reg Davis organised those. Ooh. Went down really well.
So, wow.
Yeah, two names from the past.
So did we from the Premier League when you took over. Anyway, sorry. Do you know what? Think about our time in the Premier League. Would you believe, so that season we got relegated in 1999-2000 was also the last time Sheffield Wednesday were in the Premier League. And I just mentioned them because we mentioned them there, they lost to Oxford, and the League One fixture list is completely depleted this weekend. But as of Wednesday evening, Sheffield Wednesday are still down to be hosting Bolton in the league this weekend. So that is the pick of that. Well, I can't believe the games that are still going ahead, really. I mean, Wickham Gillingham, fair enough.
Yeah.
But Sheffield Wednesday, Bolton, Ipswich, Shrewsbury, and Plymouth Burton are the four that currently remain. But yeah, I just thought it was interesting. Sheffield Wednesday want to bounce back from their defeat to Oxford against Bolton, who are doing really, really well, had another win on the weekend. Yeah, I just couldn't believe that they... I think for Nottingham Forest, it was even the season before that was the last time they were in the Premier League. And these are big, overused phrase, but these are big clubs, Sheffield Wednesday and Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, they are.
2 decades.
Yeah, it is. And yeah, and now we're in the mix as well. And now it's all going to go to shit. But yeah, I mean, well, obviously, slightly different paths, don't get me wrong. But I suppose that's, we're just getting to that stage, aren't we? And I suppose when we first came into the league, teams were doing that as well. You know, dropping down to the fourth division, going up to the top. We look at your Bradfords as well. They did that.
Yeah.
And got straight back down to the bottom again. And your Portsmouths, of course.
Well, so, it's funny you should say that, Chris. Do you want to play a game of how many former Premier League teams are currently in League One?
Well, when you say play a game, how are we playing it?
Well, I've asked you the question. How many current League One teams used in the Premier League? And you're just going to have a guess as to how many you think it is.
Okay. I will guess at 8.
He's only gone and done it, listeners. Yes, third of the league. Now, the next question is name them.
Okay. Wigan, Charlton, Portsmouth, Bolton, Sheffield Wednesday, Sunderland. How many is that?
That's 6.
Oh, come on. You've got to get the other ones.
Yeah, well, there's one that you've not mentioned, which should have been the first
Ipswich.
One. Ipswich. Yeah, even before Ipswich.
Well, us.
Yeah, there we go. Yes, obviously. Us.
Well, I didn't know we had to count. Ignored. That should just be a given.
So, yes, so 8. Wigan, Sunderland, Bolton, Portsmouth, Sheffield Wednesday, Wimbledon, Ipswich Town and Charlton Athletic. So, anyway, that was a fun game.
That was a fun game because I got it right. It would have been a crap game if I got it wrong.
You were, of course, at Selhurst Park or in the Wimbledon Broadway shop working for Wimbledon FC in 2001-2002, the last season of Wimbledon FC. We're having our look back to a rather uneventful week this week. There was nothing really in the news this week, either generally in the world or in regards to the move to Milton Keynes. That was the season of protest against the move to Milton Keynes. So there's nothing to actually update listeners you with anything on that score, to be honest with you. But we can do the quick look back down memory lane. So we can look at the number one single this week in 2001, which was one of your favourite solo female artists.
Stand by for sarcasm, listeners. Go on.
No, it genuinely is one of your favourite
singers. Go on then.
It was Can't Get You Out of My Head by Kylie Minogue.
Oh, Kylie. Oh, well, Kylie, I'll let you.
Minogue, yes.
Minogue, yeah, I remember it.
Yeah, the number one film in the box office was actually the number one film the last time I did this. However, it had not stayed at number one. In the intervening weeks, it dropped off and then it came back to the number one for some reason for a week, which is rare.
Which one was that?
It was Moulin Rouge.
Moulin Rouge. I'm going to see the stage version of that next year. I'm turning into Stu. I'm standing in for him and now I'm going to watch musicals every week.
So you are actually, you are now Stu.
Now Stu. I'm going to have to pull my hair out.
Well... won't take
long. great film.
Yes, good soundtrack, as we know, music from that film used pre-match at Craven Cottage.
Yes.
Results wise, there was only one game that fell into this week's time span, but because we missed a couple of weeks, Man City, the 4-0 win at Main Road was on the 29th of September. That result that we didn't see coming to got to Main Road under Kevin Keegan at the time. They were just ripping teams apart. They had, wasn't Ali Benaber, I think it was, the winger that come in and was tearing defences apart. And we just turned up and smashed them 4-0. Conley, Shipperley, Kevin Cooper with goals. Yeah.
God, what a team that was. And what an absolute wasted opportunity.
When you look back at that team and that squad, it was ridiculous. That should have been a promotion winning team, but obviously other things overshadowed that season massively.
People had ulterior motives, I would suggest.
Yes, and we will, of course, be getting on to ulterior motives with departing players and David Nielsen being loaned to Norwich and all that business. But yeah, we had that famous 4-0 win at Main Road last time. I think that would be the last time we would have played at Main Road. And
Yeah. Yes. I remember it well. We were almost sitting outside because of the way the stand was, if I remember.
Yes, they put us in their little temporary seating at the side of the stand.
It ended outside the ground.
Which was actually literally sort of overlooking the outside of the ground alongside the touchline, kind of. But hey, we smashed them 4-0. It was unbelievable.
And the funniest memory I have of that was leaving on the, because I used to have to do the coaches as well. Well, I'd say have to, obviously it was a bonus. We had one coach and we had a police escort of hundreds to get us out of Manchester. It was so weird. They were lining the streets, blocking off the old Coronation Street style terracing, and everything.
Yeah. A dodgy area around Main Road, though, wasn't it?
Very dodgy.
Very, very dodgy. What was dodgy was the game that did fall into this period. So we beat Man City 4-0, 29th September. We then had, I assume, looking at the fifth calendar, an international break. Two weeks later, we came back with a 4-0 defeat away at Selhurst Park to Crystal Palace. And that...
God, remember that.
Awful.
Yeah, dreadful day.
Awful day. I cannot express how much I hated that day.
I think it's coming across. You can probably tell from the airwaves that are coming out of your speakers right now.
You know, we had a great chance at 0-0. Neil Shipley, keeper, saved it, should have scored. And then they just went on and 4-0. And I just remember leaving the ground. We're in the Arthur Waite stand and I was walking back to the car and I had to walk through all the Palace fans in my Wimbledon top, and it was just horrendous.
Yeah, well, it's all right.
Yeah, I mean, Palace, it's weird. I have no feelings, strong feelings to Palace now whatsoever. Back in the day, I hated them with an absolute passion. But no, the only hatred that has survived in my life from the Premier League days and will forever remain, because they are the worst football club in the world, other than obviously Milton Keynes, Chelsea. My passion and hatred for that football club will never diminish. Never.
Never die.
No. Do not like Chelsea. Hate Chelsea. Just awful football club. Awful.
I think they've got the point.
Have I mentioned that I hate Chelsea?
I think you have, yeah.
Oh, anyway.
Came up in conversation.
That's that, really. So not really much else to discuss about in 2001. Just that horrendous memory of losing to Palace. We might well have beaten Gillingham the following week. I don't know. We'll find out next week. Oof. Tune in, listeners. Same Batman time, same Batman channel for the next instalment of 2001 in Wimbledon FC history. But that is it, though, for this week, because there's no game to look forward to.
Would we have looked forward to it if it was there?
We were scheduled to visit Milton Keynes this Saturday. It has been moved to the 11th of January, Tuesday night, 11th of January. That's fine, because I think we've only ever won at that stadium once, and that was a midweek game, so you never know. It might be about.
We were there.
We were there, 3-2 in the Jonathan Pates Trophy when it was a proper competition.
None of this B-team shite.
None of this nonsense going on. And Aziz and Sean Riggan, Akin Fenmore. Yeah, yep. Happy days. But no, so no game this week. So, just have a weekend off, everyone. Enjoy something, do something else you love. Go and see a film. Have you seen the new James Bond film yet?
No, I haven't. I do need to see it. It's 2 hours 40, though.
I know, right?
Oh, but, I'm going to a dog show.
Right.
Not as weird as it sounds. And then we're having a dog behaviourist come see us to speak about our new puppy. Nothing's really wrong. Just like I said about earlier on when you heard him barking, he barks at air. So we thought we'd get a behaviourist down to see if we can stop him barking at air.
Makes sense.
That's my exciting non-football-free weekend, everyone.
Yes, if you didn't catch that, listeners, this weekend Chris is going dogging. I don't know what I'm going to be doing, but I might go and see a film. Maybe I'll go and see the James Bond film. Maybe I'll go.
Oh, and obviously, and if I know she doesn't listen, but Charlotte's birthday as well, my daughter Charlotte, and your niece's birthday is on the Monday.
It is the 11th of October, of course it is. She is 17 years of age, which make you feel? Yes.
She's catching up on you.
She is. She's 10 years behind me now, but I've got to the point now where I can't keep doing this. So I'm now just aging normally. So I will be 28 in March.
Finally.
Yeah. Anyway, happy birthday, Charlotte. Have a fun day at school, because Monday she's got full day. She has lessons all day. No, none of these study periods on a Monday. So, yeah, sucks to be you. Anyway.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you for joining me this week, Chris.
Thanks for having me, as ever. Always a pleasure, never a chore.
Thank everybody for listening. I'm just going to sign off and say, Alexa Bliss, bag first, milk last. 2 + 2 = 4. And we shall speak to you again next Friday. Get well soon, Stu.